Hello and welcome to The Good, The Bad, The Ugly, The Aviation Maintenance Industry. I'm your host, Brian Wheels, and welcome to the second episode of 2023. We're talking about how to be a good manager, a good supervisor, and how to avoid becoming a bad one. This episode originally was supposed to be released in early 2022, but other episodes kind of took priority over this one. So you can maybe even refer to this as from the archives, a type of episode. But yeah, we're talking about how to be a good manager and how to avoid becoming a bad one and some tips in case maybe you're new to the role. All that and more coming up. Stay tuned. Hello, everybody, and welcome again to the second episode of 2023. We're talking about good manager tips and how to avoid becoming a bad aircraft maintenance manager. And we're also going to talk about some of the signs of a bad manager or supervisor. So let's dive in. Now, a lot of you have been listening to this podcast for a long enough time, and you know how much I dislike the shortcomings of incompetent managers, incompetent supervisors, and incompetent leadership. And I've discussed countless times how poor management affects the productivity of their employees, their morale, it creates added pressures, creates a divide within the team even, and how it affects quality and ultimately how it creates safety issues for the employees, the aircraft, and the flying public. But being a good manager, being a good member of leadership, whatever it might be, it goes beyond being a financial guru, a great sweet talker, a silver-tongued devil. Those aren't really traits that make a good manager, a supervisor, a leader. I said it once, I'll say it again. Human factors, the dirty dozen, it's a snowball effect, and much of it stems from poor leadership. A good workplace does not have high turnover. The figurative revolving door in any organization, aviation or not, is a bad sign. You know, the best bosses, though, they generate loyalty, enthusiasm, and mutual respect that extends to the shared vision and the innovation of the whole team, while respecting the boundary between innovating and taking dangerous shortcuts. And in a good organization, people are going to know what's expected of them, and they will make every effort to meet those expectations, to meet those standards. Now, for myself, I tell my team very often, probably to the point of annoyance, tell me what I need to hear. Do not tell me what I want to hear. What does that mean? In many organizations, they have several leads, several supervisors, several people that might be below you, and they tend to have a habit of telling you, the boss, only what they want you to know, or edited versions thereof, or maybe not the whole picture. And many managers do not take the time to visit the floor and to be seen, to be visible, to speak to everybody. Just being visible shows your people in part that you are not going to hide, that you are not going to cower and, you know, grab an ass with everybody else. No, that you are going to be amongst them, that you are genuinely interested in what's going on. And it's not a, hey, I'm keeping my eye on you type of thing. It's, hey, folks, how's things going today? Is everything going well? What you up to? That type of thing. It's important to be visible and to be seen. Now, when I've been in positions where, let's say that I was starting a new company and I was a floor supervisor or even project manager, the first day I sit down with every shift and I outline my expectations for them and I give them the opportunity and I express that it's expressly permitted that they be open, honest, and genuine and that they set their expectations for me. Well, Wheels, why would we ask our people what their expectations are? Because we are working for them. We are working to ensure that our team has the tools, the means, the resources, the training, the parts, the equipment to be successful. If they are not successful, then we, performing that role of a supervisor, a manager, a member of leadership, then we are not successful. Our jobs are to support the people actually doing the work that are actually making the money. It's not us. It is not leadership that makes the world go round. It is the people doing the job, the people doing the work that make it a success or make it a failure. And again, I make it a point to sit down with every shift, if not every month, every couple months, let's say every 3 months is usually regular for me. And I ensure that they understand that I am here for them. And whatever bullshit happened before my time, I'm rewriting that playbook. But you also have to realize that respect and trust is not earned with your position. It is something that is gained. You have to gain that trust and that mutual respect with your work group. If you're going into the role, first time, brand new to a company, whatever the case might be, you have to keep that in the back of your mind, that your title, your position doesn't demand the respect, the admiration, and the trust of your work group. Because these guys have likely been screwed around, and gals, so many times in the past by come and go members of leadership that they don't know who to trust. And generally, they're not going to trust you until you prove yourself. You have to prove yourself to them. Because talk is cheap. Your actions is what makes it known that you are being genuine. Think about it. How many managers have never taken the time to visit with their employees? How many managers, supervisors, bosses have you seen that maybe only show up during the morning meeting and then they disappear the rest of the day playing grab ass with their fellow supervisors or members of leadership, whatever it is? But they show up when it's time to play the blame game. When something's gone wrong, let's say in the hangar, an accident occurred, plane was damaged, someone was hurt. They only show up when it's time to play that blame game. And that does nothing to create trust and respect. All that does is ruin it. And now those employees begin to associate you with all of a sudden showing up with, uh-oh, there must be trouble on the floor. Someone's going to get in trouble. The boss is here, because they only show up when someone's going to get in trouble. Don't do that. Remember, many mechanics have developed a very good bullshit meter, especially seasoned mechanics who have been around the block long enough that they can tell really quickly whether a member of leadership is being genuine to them or not. Now, in my experience, the majority of poor managers fall within two types of backgrounds, and there's a divide branch off one of these. The first one, though, is the most dangerous, and in my opinion, the most awful type. This is the manager, the supervisor who tried being a mechanic, but they were run off by their peers. These were people who are washouts. These were managers that carry with them a chip on their shoulder because when they tried being a mechanic, turning that wrench, doing that job, they were run off by their peers, telling them, hey, you're crappy at what you do. And so they became motivated to be hired into a leadership role with the thought of, hey, if I can't get back at the individuals, I'm going to get back at the group as a whole because I was treated crappy. So I'm going to treat everybody else like shit. And that's very true. The worst type of leadership is the ones who tried doing your job and they were crappy and they have that chip on their shoulder. They carry it with them. And so they treat everybody like crap. I know this because when I've been a manager, when I've been a supervisor, on several occasions, my peers who were crappy managers or supervisors would share with me what their motivation was, thinking that I'm a part of their good old boy club. These people would tell me, yeah, I tried being a mechanic and I was really bad at it. And the guys gave me a really hard time. So I figured, I'm going to become a boss and I'm going to treat them like shit, see how they like it. I have been told this by those types. And then you have the second type. The second type, a poor manager, poor supervisor, poor leader, is one that has little to zero experience in aviation maintenance. People that either didn't come from aviation, but maybe they were a manager at Walmart or Keen Supers or Home Depot, and they just want to try, I want to manage people in aviation. Now, this type, they aren't generally bad in of themselves, but they have so little background and experience in aviation that they ultimately just kind of fail at their jobs because they don't know the industry. And the second subdivide of this group is the ones who they do have a little bit of experience in aviation maintenance, but they're egotistical and they just want to be the boss. You guys have met those type, right? I want to be the boss. Everything about being called the boss, being treated as the boss just gets me off. Those types. I'll say this, those types, they were actually pretty decent mechanics. But they just got it in their head that they want to be a boss, that they want to tell people what to do. And I've met many of those types as well as I'm sure you have. Now, a good manager, a good supervisor is one who has wrenched on the aircraft for a considerable amount of time. They know that aircraft. They're experienced with the aircraft. They know the aircraft inside and out and whom they have enough knowledge and experience in the industry overall to accept added responsibilities and duties of a supervisor or manager. They just want to branch out. They want to progress. And there's nothing wrong with that in of itself. But most importantly, folks, the good ones have never forgotten what it's like to be the one doing the job, whether it's a mechanic, sheet metal tech, a back shop employee, whatever. They've never forgot what it's like to be you doing the job. And that is critical, I believe, in not becoming the stereotypical poor leader. If you know what it's like and you did the job and you understand the difficulties that your employees face on a day-to-day basis because you yourself have been in their shoes, then you are better prepared to develop initiatives and strategies that not only promote growth, foster communication, and gain trust and respect, but ultimately leads to a safe aircraft. And if you don't have the experience, or if you forget about the challenges that you yourself faced when you were doing those very jobs, then you've already failed your team, and it becomes easier to get sucked into the toxicness of the good old boy club. And I've spoken about the good old boy club before. The good old boy club is toxic, very, very toxic, and it destroys the work atmosphere, and it just develops distrust and fear, and you don't want that. What's made me so successful in these roles is that I already understand those challenges. I know what it's like. I'm empathetic. I know the atmosphere, the environment those folks work in. I'm able to hit the ground running. I combat problems and I enact solutions very fast. Some of that, though, just comes with experience. And I'm not expecting, let's say that you're new. You're going to be a new supervisor. You're going to be a new manager. Yeah, you might not have that experience yet, but you can go into the role already knowing, hey, I am going to be the best I can. I am going to do what I can for these people. With the understanding, yeah, I'm not going to fix everything. I'm not going to fix everything. And you can't. You simply can't. You cannot make everybody happy. But go into it knowing that eventually, if you treat your people well, you're going to earn their trust. You're going to earn their respect. And then you will open up that two-way street of honesty, openness. They won't fear to come forward and say, hey, I think there's a problem, or I see an issue, or I think something can be changed. With all of that, what you're doing is you're fixing the many human factors, the many aspects of the dirty dozen. Again, a good manager, a good supervisor, a good member of leadership knows that respect is not given, it is earned. You can't demand respect of your employees. A good leader goes into the role expecting that your people are going to be understandably cautious. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for new supervisors and new managers to wrap their head around, because it takes time to garner trust and respect. And leading by example. How many times have we seen our bosses do the very same thing that they preached at us not to do? You got to practice what you preach. And how about the bad manager who disciplines through the my way or the highway cliche? How productive is that? Does it generate trust, or is the goal to instill fear? Because intimidation, all that does is shut everybody down, and no one is going to be willing to speak up when you really need them to. And a good manager, a good supervisor, a good leader understands that communication is a two-way street. It's as much listening as it is speaking. Now, don't get this confused, folks, with being a good bullshitter. As I said, seasoned mechanics, seasoned employees who've been around the block long enough, they know when a member of leadership is talking out of their asses. You got to be able to speak with confidence, openly, and honestly, and that is beneficial for everybody. Many incidents and accidents in history have happened because employees feared speaking up. Good management, it goes a real long way, and really it can become expensive for a company to hire and fire, that revolving door effect, and that's not good either. Believe it or not, the industry is a community, its own little world, aviation maintenance. And I've been surprised many times in my career, people whom I've worked with in the past, they just show up at another company that I just started at. I'm like, holy cow, it's a small world. People in the industry, they talk. And if you're a crappy leader, the word is going to get out that you're a crappy leader. If you're a manager or a supervisor who might be happy to listen to this, maybe I've already triggered you into madness, but before you blow your top and you start composing a nasty email or message to me, I'm asking you, please reflect on yourself, your abilities. What you've done, what you've said. Are you promoting a good culture or a toxic one? Is your priority ultimately safety? If it is not, you need to change. You need to take to heart some of the tips that I provided here. And remember, what goes around comes around. And karma is a cruel mistress. With that, everybody, thanks so much for listening to this short little episode. Maybe it helped some of you out, maybe it didn't. But hey, let me know. reach out, let me know. Am I doing a good job, doing a bad job? I really appreciate everybody who takes their time to tune into the show. And I'm glad to be back here in 2023. If you have any questions, thoughts, concerns, or if you want to share your stories or experiences live on the podcast, please reach out to me, apmechanicpodcast@aol.com. You can also find me on Twitter @goodbadugly_ANP. Say, if you are on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave me a good review. Oh, heck, leave me a review. Honesty. Whether it be good, bad, or ugly, I want to know. Again, you can find me on Facebook as well. Good, Bad, Ugly, AP, one word. And new podcasts is second Wednesday of each month. We'll release one. And until next time, everybody, take care and be safe. We'll see you.